Father, once again, we do thank you for everything that we have. And Lord, we thank you for the children and the teens and Lord, and our Sunday school teachers who are sharing your amazing good news with them. And we just pray that they'll soak that up this morning. Lord, thank you for the chance to give back to you. We thank you. We present our offering to you, and it's just a tiny thing. It's a token, but we thank you for this opportunity to worship you in that way, and we present that to you this morning. Lord, we just pray as Lewis comes and brings your word, we just pray for him, for he has that incredible mind to be able to take complicated things and bring them to us in a simple way. And Lord, as he brings to us what you've laid on his heart, Lord, we just pray that we would be changed and inspired and motivated and affected by it. Lord, we do thank you for your word. Thank you that you haven't left us aimless, that you've given us direction. Lord, thank you for everything that you are doing in the world. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. If someone asked you, maybe someone at work or college asked you, hey, I know you're a Christian and you read the Bible. Tell me a little bit about the Bible. Tell me what the Bible is all about. What would you say? What would you say if you had to answer in 12 words or less? I'm going to give you 2 minutes now. Turn to your neighbor just where you are and see if you can answer that question. What is the Bible all about? Try and do it in 12 words or less. You've got 2 minutes. Well, I wonder what you came up with. I think you would agree that that is an important question. It's important that we have some sense of what we would say in answer to that question. Because if we get that question wrong, if we're not quite sure what the Bible is about, then it's going to have quite a profound impact on the way we live our lives, on the trajectory of our lives. This morning, we're going to look at how Jesus answers that question. What is the Bible all about? So turn with me, please, to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. And I'm going to read from verses 36 to 49. So right near the end of Luke's gospel. Luke 24, 36 to 49. And I'm reading in the NIV version. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. Jesus said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts arise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet, and while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written: the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. When these events happen, we are still in Easter Sunday. We're still on the same day that Jesus rose from the dead. In these verses, how does Jesus answer our question, what is the Bible all about? Well, Jesus tells us that the Bible is all about Messiah and it's about mission. Messiah and mission. There you go. Jesus manages it in three words. Luke 24:46. Have a look at that there. Jesus says, this is what is written. Written where? He says in verse 44, in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Now, that was a kind of shorthand for the whole of what we now call the Old Testament, the whole of the Jewish Bible, the three main sections of the Jewish Bible. And Jesus says two things are written there. The first thing is that the Messiah will suffer and rise. And the second thing is that repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations. And Jesus says both of those things are written in the Old Testament or in the Jewish Bible. What's the whole Bible about? Jesus tells us Messiah and mission. I wonder how close your answer was to that. Well, let's unpack that a little bit more. And I've got 6 points that I want to draw out from this text. Point number one, the Bible is about Messiah. The Bible is about Messiah. And you're probably thinking, yeah, sure. I mean, Jesus is the central person in the Bible. I get that. But it's very easy to think, for us to slip into thinking that Christianity is about Jesus plus some other things. And sometimes to even think that Christianity is mainly about the other things. Good things, important things, like morality, education, politics, world events, family life, church life, identity, all good and important things. But what if Christ is not centre? The famous reformer in the 1500s, Martin Luther, asked us this question. Take Christ from the scriptures, and what more will you find in them? Jesus says here in Luke 24 that everything in the Old Testament points to me. Everything. It's probably not how we think about the Old Testament, but that is what Jesus thought. Verse 44, everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in all the scriptures. Charles Spurgeon was a famous preacher in the 1800s, and one time he was talking to a young preacher, and this is what he said. Don't you know, young man, that from every town and every village and every hamlet in England, wherever it may be, there is a road to London. And so from every text of Scripture, there is a road to Christ. And my dear brother, your business is when you get to a text to say, now, what is the road to Christ? I have never found a text that had not got a road to Christ in it. And if I ever do find one, I will go over hedge and ditch, but I will get at my master. For the sermon cannot do any good unless there is a savour of Christ in it. We could think of it perhaps a little bit like Beautiful Rose, the gospel of the Messiah. The Messiah is the rose, and the stem and the roots are the Old Testament. Just going outside of our passage in Luke very briefly, Jesus taught a similar thing in John's gospel. Jesus was talking with some of the religious leaders in John chapter 5, verses 39 to 40. And Jesus said this to these religious leaders, you study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. Jesus, the Messiah, is the end for which the universe was created. And so the whole Bible is about the Messiah. How should we respond to that? Well, we should make Jesus the hero of every story in the Bible. And we should make Jesus the hero of our stories as well. Point number two, the Bible is about Messiah and the Bible is about mission. Notice again, have another look at Luke 24, verse 47. What's the first word there? And. Sometimes the little words in the Bible are very, very significant. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached. Jesus is saying something very important about the Old Testament. It's about Messiah, but it's also about mission. This is what is written in the Old Testament. It's about mission. Missions doesn't begin in the New Testament. Missions doesn't begin with the Great Commission in Matthew 28, as often we perhaps think. The Old Testament is a missionary text. Israel was called into existence to be a light to the nations. It was God's mission to bless the nations through Israel, to even restore his creation through her. We won't look at it now in depth, but the history of Israel begins in Genesis 12 with God calling Abraham and God promising that through his offspring, all the nations would be blessed. Genesis 12, 3. This is where we sometimes go wrong. We perhaps think, well, the Old Testament is a very different kind of book to the New Testament. Maybe we think, you know, in the Old Testament, there's lots of law, and in the New Testament, there's grace. And we fail to see that there's one story flowing through the whole of Scripture. In its most severe form, you maybe have heard people almost say that the God of the Old Testament is almost different from the God of the New Testament, or reveals himself in a different way. But that's not what Jesus thought. Jesus wants us to see that the Bible is one book about Messiah and about mission. Well, so what? Well, if this is true, one implication for us is that mission is God's mission before it becomes our mission. Mission is God's mission first and foremost. Well, it's part of God's plan all through Scripture for generations. The mission is God's, and God invites his church, God invites his redeemed people into that mission. This is how Chris Wright, who's an Old Testament scholar from England, puts it. It's not so much that God has a mission for his church in the world, but that God has a church for his mission in the world. It's not so much that God has a mission for his church in the world, but that God has a church for his mission in the world. So the whole Bible is about Messiah, and the whole Bible is about mission. Point number three, the Bible is a true story about Messiah and mission. Now, what is that story? What is that, if you like, meta-narrative, you know, big picture of the whole Bible? Well, we could summarize it in four parts: creation, fall, redemption, restoration. As Kander put it in his sermon last week, he said this: paradise regained through the obedience of Christ. You can look at it like this. Notice the four movements in this picture: creation, fall, redemption through Christ, and restoration or new creation. Or if you prefer something simpler, try this. There's creation, fall, and then in the middle, kind of glimpses of redemption in Israel, but it doesn't last because Israel fails and is exiled. And then true redemption comes in Christ. Christ is the true Israel of God who dies and rises to fulfill the mission of Israel, and then consummation at the end on the right-hand side, the renewed creation. Notice that the right-hand side is higher than the left-hand side. The new creation will be better even than Eden. Any connection to a well-known store brand in this diagram is purely coincidental. God's big story got there first. So God's missionary purpose is to redeem the world, and that is served first by Israel and then by Jesus and then finally by those of us who follow Jesus. So what are we saying here? The Bible is many things, but at its root it is a story. It is a true story of Messiah and mission. Well, everyone who lives their lives lives on the basis of some kind of story or group of stories. Stories that help us to think, well, why are we here? Who am I? What is my problem? What is the solution? What can I hope for? We're shaped by stories. We're hardwired to live out of our imaginations in this world. Well, which story is framing your life? If you don't know the answer to that question, probably what is happening to you is that a whole series of stories are shaping you, like multiple scripts going on in your head, pulling you in different directions and possibly giving you a severe headache. Life is hard when there are multiple scriptwriters at work in your head. Some of you are at the point of making significant decisions in your lives that will shape your lives for years to come. Is the story of Messiah and mission going to play the central role in your decision making? Or will that just be one amongst many scripts that are at work? The world has no shortage of willing scriptwriters for you. Here in Luke 24, Jesus shows us the true story of life and the cosmos, including your life, Messiah, and mission. And let's face it, Jesus should know because he wrote the story. Point number four, the Bible is a story about God's Messiah and God's mission, and God's people are to inhabit the story. What does that mean? What will it look like for us to be living in that story, living in that meta-narrative, that big picture? Jesus says in verse 48 of Luke 24, you are witnesses. The mission is God's mission. And yet, almost always what God does is he uses means. He uses his people in his economy to work through. You are witnesses, says Jesus. Now, clearly, originally, this meant the apostles and the early church and that little group of people gathered together on that first Sunday, that Easter Sunday, who Jesus was talking to. But surely Jesus knows that this little band of men, women, and children could not reach all the nations. They can't preach the word to all the nations. He must have had in mind a much wider audience than just that group. He must be speaking to us too. When someone becomes a follower of Jesus, God draws them into his story and into his mission. And this mission isn't just sharing good ideas or sharing opinions. It's proclaiming good news. Look again at verse 47. The mission of God is preaching or proclaiming to the nations. The word there for nations in Greek is ta ethne. It kind of means all the peoples in the world, echoes of Genesis 12. It's been said that the Bible is God preaching God. And so what we're about, as God draws us into his mission, is playing our part in that process. Well, what might this look like in practice? Here's a brief interlude about what is happening in ministry in Bangladesh. My family and I lived in Bangladesh for many years, and at the beginning of this year, we had a chance to visit again after an absence of about 7 years. One of the programs that is being run in Bangladesh that we've been involved with is Agape College. Agape College is a discipleship program aimed at equipping believers in that part of the world. The distinctive thing about Agape College is it's working with Muslim background believers, those who've come to faith from Islam. This picture shows a recent graduation ceremony at the college. So everybody in that picture, apart from the foreigners, would have come to Jesus, the Messiah, from a Muslim background. And there's a class at the college. And at Agape College, men and women are being equipped and trained to take the gospel back to their own communities so they can share it in a contextualized, in a meaningful way. And that is bearing much fruit at this time. Point number five, the Bible is all about Messiah and mission, and the cross is the center of mission. Have a look again back in Luke 24, 46 and 47. What do we see Jesus doing here? Jesus puts his sufferings in verse 46 alongside of mission in verse 47. The cross is the center of God's mission to redeem and restore the world. How does that work? Well, the cross is the victory of God over all his enemies, over sin, over the devil, over death, over chaos, over violence. The mission of God is to restore his whole creation to what it was intended to be. And the cross was the unavoidable cost of God's mission. At the cross, God deals with the guilt of sin. God defeats the power of evil. God destroys the power of death. God removes the barrier of enmity between people. God heals the broken created order, such that one day God's redeemed will live in a new earth. All this is accomplished through the cross. Jesus is the end for which the universe was made. And through his death on the cross and his resurrection, he is the means that makes it possible for us to enjoy that end as well. Point number six, the Bible is about a victorious Messiah and his mission. Remember, Jesus spoke these words on Resurrection Sunday, a victorious Messiah. Jesus has overcome all God's enemies by his death and resurrection. And now he is Lord of all. Abraham Kuyper was a Dutch theologian in the 1800s. Actually, at one point, he became the prime minister of Holland or the Netherlands. And this is what he said about this. There is not a square inch in the whole domain of our human existence over which Christ, who is sovereign over all, does not cry, mine. So all of life now belongs to the Messiah. And God's mission, which we have been brought into as his people, is to proclaim that truth to the world. Jesus is Lord. He is Lord of all. What does that include? Well, work, leisure, creativity, holidays, aesthetics, marriage, design, art, bringing up children, fashion, sports, singleness, film, economics, trade, international relations, pretty much whatever you care to think about. They're all to be under the lordship of Christ. If you have a new life because of what Christ has done for you, then obviously that new life is across the board, 24/7, 360 degrees. Jesus didn't say, I've come that you may have life on Sundays, or life at about 30%, or life when you're having your morning quiet time. I have come that you may have life, life in all its fullness. Friends, we can function out of a truncated gospel, stump rather than tree. We cannot operate with a kind of background, sacred, secular divide going on in our thinking and in our lives and in our imaginations, meaning that large swathes of our life are not being touched at all by Jesus and his gospel. Our culture doesn't really mind if we come to church, although that may change. Oh, that's nice for you. That's kind of like a hobby. Good for you. But our culture will resist the claim that Christ makes that he is Lord of all. The Apostle Paul was in no doubt about the extent of Christ's reign in all of life. Flick over, please, to Colossians chapter 1 and verses 15 to 16. Let me read those verses. Colossians 1, 15 to 16. Paul wrote, "The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him." All things. Another interlude. What might this look like in practice? Another of the projects in Bangladesh that we're involved with, or were involved with, as alongside of the proclamation ministry of Agape College, we have ones like this, where we're seeking to help people from disadvantaged backgrounds, give them practical skills, provide education in a slum area of Dhaka. At this urban renewal program, we seek to demonstrate the love of Christ and the lordship of Christ over all of life to these children and young people from Muslim and Hindu communities. So to recap, 6 points. The Bible is about mission. The Bible is about Messiah. The Bible is about mission. The Bible is the true story about Messiah and mission. God's people are to be people living in that story. The cross of Christ and resurrection are at the center of the story. And so the Bible is about a victorious Messiah and his mission. So some applications as we draw to a close. Well, more like questions for us to think about. If God is at work in this world as his mission field, working day to day to redeem it and all the nations in it through Christ, then wouldn't it be wise to know something about the world? Maybe to know something about everywhere in the world and everything about somewhere in the world. Number two, how will the Bible's theme of Messiah and mission shape your prayer life? And where your prayers are, there your wallet will go. Where your prayers and your wallet go, there might you well go. Number three, nowadays mission is from everywhere to everywhere. As New Zealand becomes more and more secular and missionaries from the majority world increasingly come here, are we in a position to support and encourage them, to welcome them? Number four, don't wait until you're called, because Luke 24 is the call. When I first went to Bangladesh as a single 32-year-old guy, it wasn't because I'd heard a voice in the night. I was actually for much more mundane reasons than that. My circumstances allowed it. I had become interested in reaching Muslims with the gospel. I could get a visa to teach the Bible in Bangladesh. I'd learned a lot from being in a Bible teaching church for 10 years. If you're waiting for a call to mission, it probably won't come because it's already happened. Number five, lastly, missions isn't necessarily about going overseas, although it may be. There's nothing special about going overseas. It tends to happen more when you live on an island. The question isn't how far you will go in kilometers, but how you will go. One person may go 3,000 kilometers and cause nothing but trouble. Another person may go down their street and be a rich blessing. So to conclude, what is the Bible all about? And what difference will that make to you, even this week? Let's pray. Lord, we give you our lives. May our hearts, our minds, and our desires be yours. May our hands and feet and voices move as you would choose. May our moments and our days flow in endless praise. Almighty and loving God, we bless you for the gift of your word. We pray now for the grace to believe what we have read and to live in ways that honour you above all. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.